You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's the 23rd day of August. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us from Atchison, Kansas, is Mike Zuzulo. Good afternoon to you, Mike. He's a Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting.
How are you today, Todd?
I am really well, and I'm looking forward to the Farm Progress Show, but I hadn't read a forecast until just about a minute and a half ago.
Are you getting your case of Powerade bought today?
Yeah, you and I are going to be out there looking really stunning, I think.
Well, I told you a long time ago during the winter meetings that I wanted to lose about 7 pounds. I just didn't want to do it in 36 hours.
Yeah, it might be a tough slog, but we will be there. Actually, you'll be in our tent on and off in the 10:30 time frame and the 2 o'clock time frame, depending on the day. And then you've got over at Wiffles. You'll be on stage over there putting on some events, too. Tell me about those, please.
Got a couple events scheduled. Got Central and 4th is where they're going to be. Where are you going to be at U of I? Do you know, Tom?
Oh, I do know. I should have told you that. 3rd and West.
3rd and West. Okay, great. Well, we're going to be at Central and 4th with Tim Reinhardt and Wiffles. And Tuesday and Wednesday, I'll be doing 3 shows a day, 9, 11, and 1, talking about 2014 corn demand. And going to be extremely good, I think, because we just got news today that Japan was going to step in for 2.2 million tons of feed corn, looking for October through December shipment and or delivery, excuse me, and that the U.S. would probably get most of that business. So we saw a lot more demand movement again this week, and I think it'll be a neat presentation. It'll be very short and to the point, and be right out there in the front so that people can get up and head out and go get a drink of water.
Yeah, they're going to need to do that. So 2nd and Central, right?
That's not Central and 4th.
They're Central and 4th, which is really close to where we are. 3rd and West, they're only a block apart, really, by Caddy Corner, that is. So not too far apart. We're just, if you're looking for the U of I tent and you come in the main gate, if you just hang a right as you come in the main gate, we're about 3 blocks south. If you go 1 block north to or 1 block to the east towards Central Avenue and then turn 4 blocks to the south, you'll find the Wiffles tent. And what time's again for you there?
9, 11, and 1, all local time. They're Central time.
All right. Congratulations on that one. I'll look forward to seeing you here in the great state of Illinois making your trip back over. You know, I was going to ask you, how far is it from Lafayette to Atchison, Kansas?
Right at 9 hours. And if you are going to make the trip, do not take 70. Take 72 across to 36. It's a much more pleasurable drive, less traffic. It's a beautiful drive. I drove recently to Belleville from Atchison. I went through Kansas City and St. Louis, and it was a completely different, much more miserable drive along 70. So don't do yourself the harm of driving the southern route.
Oh, you should have asked me about that. I know better than now. You know, ever since they made that 4-lane across the top of Missouri on 36, that's a gorgeous drive across there. That's
it is
a really nice drive across the top of there. You've driven it a couple of times. The guys from Pro Farmer were out in that part of the world just a tad in Missouri this week. And then today they released the numbers from Iowa and Minnesota. And the corn numbers were a whole lot bigger than many people expected they were. But the soybean numbers, the pod counts were really down in both those states.
Yeah, and here's the kicker. We just got the final numbers that would be drilled into the national numbers with USDA. And 6 of the 7 states that they went through, the final yield for corn was lower compared with the tour number. They came out with not only a 154.1 yield, so lower yield than USDA, and that's an average. They go 152 to 155.6 with a tolerance of 1%. So 154.1, and they cut harvested acres 1.8 million. So then not only did they take the yield down, they also took harvested acres down. And I think when I talked to Chicago after these numbers came out, I think that most people were trending in the idea after the tour numbers, the day-to-day tour numbers came out, that the trade was expecting probably something close to, if not over, a 160 yield number. So I think a much bigger shock in the corn in the final number that was released just about 45 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Now, beans probably a little bit more normal compared to what the actual tour data showed. Disappointing, 41.8 bushels, plus or minus 2%, and they took 800,000 acres off the harvested for beans. So when you translate that into USDA numbers, you're talking about essentially $300 million off of carryover in corn, so 1.5 on corn carryover, 97 million bushels off bean carryover, taking you down below 125. So both of them very friendly, but I think the yield number a bit more friendly for the corn given what the tour day-to-day numbers were suggesting.
Yeah, so and Chip did remind folks that the crop is awfully immature and says that even with these numbers, he plans to reevaluate the tour numbers every week. For a while, at least. So it'll be interesting to see what they have to say about the crop and the size. And I suppose the heat might help out some, but it won't help without the rain. That's for darn sure.
I would say that in some areas it'll be just the opposite, that the heat with the immaturity of the corn. Some of those ears were pencil. They weren't even in blister. I think that if you get 100 degrees in Cedar Rapids and Denison and Des Moines, unless you got a rain recently, if you're looking like you haven't had more than a half an inch in the last 30 days, I would think 100 degrees would be hurting your corn crop quite a bit. But one of the interesting anecdotal things about the tour itself is when they published the Minnesota number for the day at 181 at the end of the day, that was huge compared to USDA's 166. And I went back and looked at it, and they had, Pro Farmer, had the Minnesota yield better than it was in 2010, and that's when the good to excellent ratings were at 90% for Minnesota in mid-August of 2010. So it just goes to show you, I think, and I think Chip's done a really good job of trying to say this and suggest this over and over again, don't take the day-to-day stuff too seriously. Yeah, look at it, but wait till the Friday numbers come out.
Oh, yeah, he's told us that on Commodity Week because we always have him on after the tour, and he'll be on today. We'll record at 4:30. He's told us every time.
Every time.
Now,
but
these...
the trade, you notice, went back to trading those day-to-day numbers, I thought anyway, and we went back to buying beans and selling corn in the second half of the week, and I think it was because they started to track those day-to-day numbers again.
Okay, so let's deal with a number here from Pro Farmer. So you gave us the number. The production number ranges from what, 13,325 to 13,595.
Correct.
So that 13,3 crop starts to get down there fairly small and brings us down to a 1.3 carryout or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
You get down close to 1.25, and you have to throw on top of that, we're running very tight on global coarse grains. You know, that's where something that we've kind of put and shelved in the closet here the last 3 months is that we really are super tight historically on global coarse grain ending stocks. So
okay,
that becomes a big factor.
So you like these numbers because you've been of this opinion.
I really do, because they're closer to what I think is actually out there, and the crop's not made yet. I think we went back into that 2009 tunnel vision, and we just can't be there yet. The crop's not made.
So what do? Just stay the course
where you are? You stay with paper. You just don't sell the cash because, you know, look at beans. I mean, they're a perfect example. If we're down below 125 million bushel carryover, you are back into a 2012-type market, Todd, where you've got to ration demand, and that means how high and how fast you go before you choke that demand off. And so you not only have to deal with what could not be in the combine hopper, but you also have to deal with what could not be on your bottom line if you sell too early. So stick with known cost paper positions for this next 10 days, and let's see if we really do hit the century mark out in the Western Corn Belt next week.
Why did the beans rally?
I think it goes back to that ratio, and I think it goes back to the trade simply thinks the corn crop is more made, and this heat is actually beneficial because it'll dry the crop down, it'll have less frost threat. The beans have none of that going for them in terms of bearish attitude.
Cattle and feed report was out this afternoon. Did you see those numbers?
Yes, very friendly. 12th straight month of declines, 94% on feed below the trade guess. Placements 90% below the trade guess, marketing's 105 on the top end of the trade guess. Between this and the cold storage report yesterday, I think your cattle market and your beef market are headed higher over the longer term.
Okay, thanks much.
Thanks, Todd. See you next week, buddy.
Hey, yep, we'll see you on the Farm Progress Show site. That's Mike Zuzalo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, and joins us here on the closing market report, as usual, for a Friday afternoon.